Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Virtues of the Holy Quran Sharif. Rules of reverence for reading the Quran Sharif. After cleaning the teeth with a miswak and wudu, one should sit in a quiet place with grace and humility and face towards the Qibla direction. Then, with an attentive heart, keep devotion and zest befitting the occasion. One should recite, imagining all the time that he is reciting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If one understands the meaning, one should pause and reflect on the ayat of promise and mercy and should beg for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and compassion. On ayat of punishment and admonition, one should seek his refuge, as except him there is no helper. On ayat pertaining to his majesty and sanctity, one should say subhanallah. If one does not spontaneously shed tears while reading the Quran Sharif, one must induce oneself to weep a little. In a poem, Hazrat says, for a lover, the moments of greatest pleasure are those when in the presence of his beloved, he is full of self-reproach and shedding tears profusely. One should not read fast unless one desires to memorize the Quran Sharif. The Quran should be placed in a slightly elevated position on a wooden stand or pillow. One should not talk to others during recitation. If one is forced by necessity to speak to someone, it should be done after first closing the Quran Sharif and then recite ta'awuz, a'udh billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, before reading again. If people nearby are occupied in their work, reading in a low voice is appreciated, otherwise reading loudly is more rewarding. The mashayikh have mentioned 6 external and 6 internal rules of reverence for reading the Quran Sharif, which are given below. Rules of external reverence and respect. Number 1, perform wudu and then sit facing Qibla in an extremely dignified manner. Number 2, do not proceed fast, but read with measure and correct pronunciation. Number 3, try to weep, even if you have to compel yourself to do so. Number 4, the response to ayat of mercy or of punishment should be as explained above. Number 5, reading should be in a low voice. If insincerity is apprehended on your own part or disturbance is caused to others, otherwise read in a loud voice. Number 6, read in a melodious voice, because there are numerous ahadith laying emphasis on this. Rules of internal reverence. Number 1, the heart should be full of the glory of the Quran Sharif, that is, realizing how sublime it is. Number 2, bear in the heart the loftiness, majesty, and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose revelation the Quran Sharif is. Number 3, the heart should be free from distraction and doubts. Number 4, dwell upon the meanings and enjoy reading the Quran Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once spent the whole night reading over and over again the following ayat, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. If thou should chastise them, they are your servants, and if you should forgive them, you are most mighty, the wise. Once Sa'id bin Jubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu spent the whole night repeating the following ayat of the Quran Sharif, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, and withdraw aside today, O guilty ones. Number 5, submit your heart to the subject matter of the verses you are reading. For instance, on ayat containing a message of mercy, the heart should be filled with delight. And on ayat of chastisement, the heart should tremble with awe. Number 6, the ears should be made as attentive as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is speaking and the reader is listening to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy and kindness, grant all of us the ability to read the Quran Sharif according to these rules of reverence. Amen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Adab al-Mu'asharat, social etiquettes. They are blessings if all sit together and eat. They are blessings if all sit and eat together. After eating, first raise the dasturkhan, the tablecloth, before rising. Leave it down is contrary to etiquette. If one has completed eating before his companions, then too he should remain seated with them. He should continue eating small morsels. It should not happen that due to your departure, he also rises up hungrily. If one is forced to stand up for some reason, then he should excuse himself. It is sunnah to come to the door of one's house to see off one's guests. It is sunnah to come to the door of one's house to see off one's guest. Do not drink water in one sip. Drink it at least 3 sips. When breathing, remove the utensil from the mouth. Read Bismillah before drinking water and Alhamdulillah after drinking. Do not drink directly from a jug or pitcher. Similarly, do not drink directly from such utensils in which there is a possibility that plenty of water will come quickly, or there is a fear that a snake or scorpion could have fallen into it. Do not drink directly from a jug or pitcher. Similarly, do not drink directly from such a utensil in which there is a possibility that plenty of water will come quickly into one's mouth, or there is a fear that a snake or scorpion could have fallen into it. Do not stand and drink without necessity. It is prohibited to drink from utensils made of gold and silver.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم أو كما صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before we start with regard to this etiquette that we read now, that we shouldn't drink from a utensil in which there is fear that perhaps a snake, scorpion, something, any insect could have fallen in. Though that won't perhaps apply to us, that's more in the villages, etc. But for our times also, what is relevant, it's not long ago that an American woman went boating and she took cans of Coke with her. And she drank it, and she became so sick that she had to be in the ICU, and she died after 3 days. When they did the post-mortem and they did all the tests, what they found, that those Coke cans on top, there was rat urine. And she drank like that, so that urine also went with. And that poison of that urine killed her. So these cans in the warehouses, storerooms, where and where they pass through. So many of us are in the habit, we just drink from the can like that. So that should be avoided. And if you have to drink, wash the top of it, wipe it off, and then you drink. And also to drink from a utensil with a small mouth, like the can or like a cold drink bottle, there the water, whatever you're drinking, can come in a huge amount. And it can cause you a lot of inconvenience. It can even cause death of sudden amount of huge amount of liquid going down. And you don't know what can be inside. It's not very long ago that here in South Africa, in a Coca-Cola can, cockroaches were found. And this we're talking about the villages. This is in this times here in the cities. Cockroaches were found in a Coca-Cola can. So the best is whatever you drink, pour it in a glass that has got a big mouth and you can see. One sunnah is to see in your liquid, in your water, what you are drinking. So if there's any dirt or anything, you can see it. In this closed bottle, and especially dark bottles, you can't see what is inside. And you're just drinking like that, you can cause yourself a lot of harm. So the social etiquettes are very, very important in every aspect. May Allah give us tawfiq to learn these and to practice upon them, inshallah. In which there is benefit of our deen also, our dunya also, and our akhirat also. With regard to this great auspicious occasion and month that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, yesterday we discussed a little bit on the month, which is such an auspicious month, the month itself. And then in this month, Allah gave us rozas also. And fasting, keeping rozas, this is a thing on its own which is so great. At any time of the year, if a person keeps rozas, the benefits of it are tremendous. And then on top of that again, in this month, Allah gave us Quran Sharif also. Quran Sharif is also for the whole year, at any time. And the Quran Sharif works miracles. There is no doubt in it. Like, for example, if we have the proper attachment to Quran Sharif, just as we heard now, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the whole night, in tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim. So that is when we have that attachment that you can repeat it so many times. Otherwise you cannot. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the whole night read fariqun fil jannah wa fariqun fil nar. One group will be in Jannat, one group will be in the fire of Jahannam. Which group will we be in? So this is how we saw our Shaykh Damat Barakatuh, the Ash'ar, sometimes just one couplet, not the whole poem, just one couplet. Hazrat had it repeated up to 2-3 hours, the same couplet, over and over. So this is when we get attached to the meaning of it. Like Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Ali says in his internationally famous Qasida Burda Sharif, which is so beautiful, which we enjoy listening to, but more than we enjoy to the listening. Remind me what point I am. I just want to digress again a little bit. One friend of one time sent an email, and he said that I was listening to Na'at Sharif of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, praises of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is meritorious and which is very good. But then he said, and this was a whole chapter that opened to me, that he said, I started wondering, was I enjoying the voice of the person who was reading? Or was I enjoying the tune? Or was I enjoying the art of poetry? A person who knows about poetry, and when you get some good poetry, not the meaning, not the words, but the way of setting it. We also speak English, but for us to make a poem is almost impossible. And who are gifted, they naturally, they just speak in poetic form all the time. So there is an art of its own. So whether you are appreciating that art, or whether I was appreciating the greatness and the beauty of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that is what everything, today whatever ash'ar also we listen to, or even Quran Sharif. With regard to Quran Sharif, you can take a test and see that do we actually enjoy the Quran, the words, the meaning of the words. Usually what I notice is people give that Allah, Allah, when a person takes a long breath. So is that what is to appreciate it? When he read quite a few ayats, quite a bit, he read it together, then you see the whole crowd, Allah, Allah. But the ayats of Quran, of Jannat, of Jahannam, Allah's greatness, that doesn't draw that for very little. You'll hear somebody just murmuring something. But so what is it that we are appreciating? So that is what is important. So Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Ali says that the Quran Sharif laha ma'anin, has got meanings. Not only one meaning. And how much a person can delve into, that is when a person, his heart has been opened. And his heart has become shining. And this is why we are here. That in this month, that our hearts can, we can shine our hearts. Like a mirror, if it is dirty, and it doesn't reflect the light. But if it's clean, shining, how it reflects the light. A torch that works, the principle of it that works is just working on a small globe. Very small. And nowadays that globe is even much more smaller. And the batteries also are much more smaller now. Before they were little big batteries in a torch. But what is the main thing that gives that light is the shine which is behind it. That how much that is shining, so much the light is more brighter. Just like the Quran Sharif also explains about this light, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, Mathalu Nurihi Kamishkatin fil Misbah. That is in a shelf, and that light is such, and that whole shelf is the glass of it is made such that gives the light of. So how much our hearts will be shining and are cleaned, our hearts. Allah's Noor is coming. When you're reading Quran Sharif, Allah's Noor is coming. When you're making dhikr, when you're making salat, that depends on our hearts. If our hearts are dirty, you don't get the benefit of it. If your heart is clean, you not only will you get the benefit, but that person, the light will shine and others will also go. Our mashayikh was sitting in the haram of Makkah Sharif, and one buzur came in. And they looked up suddenly, and then they saw this buzurg. They say, oh, no wonder, I saw the whole haram has lit up. Now I realize it's because of your coming that it has lit up. So, and for this occasion, one very beautiful poem has been said, that when a person makes his islah and corrects his life, pehle ja, phir jaane ja, phir jaane jaana, That a person first, what's the first line of this? Anyone know? Anyway, two name mujhe kya shauk hai fir awa kar diya. How you have made me, oh my Shaykh is referring, that how you have changed my life and how you have given me what enjoyment in life. Pehle jaan, I have come to love myself first. When a person is living a reckless life, a life away from deen, he is really an enemy of himself. For example, if a person gets involved with cigarettes, and then with drugs, and then with alcohol, he is an enemy of himself. He might think I'm somebody and something, but he's really an enemy of himself. When a person's simple lifestyle, he doesn't sleep early at night. A recent survey has shown that children, they had various tests. Those children who sleep late at night, their reading is very weak. And their arithmetic, their mathematics also is very weak. So early sleeping is very necessary. But today the trend in the world is to sleep late. And today the internet has almost destroyed anyone and everyone. The late, late hours. If a person for a good cause for deen and hadith teaching, you must teach sleep immediately after Isha. Unless it's some deeny matters, then it's all right. But that too, especially for students, if they can defer this mutala to 3 o'clock in the morning, sleep early and get up early. That is extremely good. Any other work also. And what barakat is kept in that early part of the morning, from tahajjud time till about ishjash time, especially till ishraq, and extended till chash, that all the barakat is in that time. So if that time a person stays awake and he does his work, even his dunya's work, he'll say a lot gets accomplished. So that is the blessed time. So when a person sleeps late at night, gets up late in the morning, that's another thing again, which is so common, getting up late in the morning. So you're an enemy of yourself. When your eating habits are bad, eating this takeaway food, which today almost no one is saved from it. Everyone just cherishes this food. You're really an enemy of yourself. You are harming your own health with all these things. All this, your dressing, your lifestyle. So when your islah is made, first you love yourself. Phir jaane jaan. Then the people of the world start loving you. The people will respect you, will look up to you, will love you. Phir jaane jahan. And then you become the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. When this islah is made. And when this nur will come into you, it will light up. So how much we shine our hearts. And then this nur is there. The nur of, therefore, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specific dua. Like that, Allah prepares Ramadan from Muharram. Beautifies Jannat. Allah beautifies Jannat from for Ramadan. Allah beautifies it from Muharram. So preparations have started there already. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa fi Ramadan wa fi Sha'ban. So already in Rajab, Sha'ban, the preparation. So a person who starts his preparation before, he'll get the full benefit of Ramadan. In which way? Like for example, you want to drive your car, and especially if it's on an incline, a little going up, and it's a manual car, and you put it into third gear, and you want to take off. It just jerks a little bit, and it switches off. So if we come into Ramadan, which is also an incline, keeping rozas, taraweeh, getting up for sehri, it is mujahada. It's an incline. And you are not in first gear already. You start off with third gear in Ramzan. So you find many people who come for 2-3 taraweehs and then they don't make taraweeh anymore. They just jerked a little bit and then they switched off again. How many people just keep their few rozas and they switch off again? But if we got ready from Rajab, and if we kept rozas and Shaban, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept many rozas. So Ramzan, then roza is no mujahada. You won't have to, on your timetable, every day with a flow marker. Higher diploma after you're scratching out every day that this day must not come back again. It won't be a worry. Roza will be in the bag already. To keep rozas won't be any big deal. It will be just there. Our tilawat of Quran Sharif, if we were consistent in the whole year, now to increase it in Ramadan will be no big deal. But if we weren't reading the whole year, then we find it a big job to read Quran Sharif also. If we were reading all the time, zikr we were making, dua we were making, so we were already long ago in first gear, second gear, third gear. When you come into Ramzan, you're moving into fifth, sixth gear. Now it's a smooth sailing. And that person moves easily in Ramzan. And he goes much further. Otherwise, just beginning of Ramzan, now suddenly you face a big thing like roza. 11 months you didn't keep roza. Now suddenly you have to keep roza. You have to get up for sehri. You weren't getting up to hajjud the whole year. Now you have to get up early. Now 20 rakats taraweeh, etc. You weren't making awwabin. You weren't making tahajjud. Now suddenly all this. So it's a big thing in front of you. Whereas if you are prepared from before, so Ramadan, a person should prepare. Then that person gets the maximum benefit of Ramadan. Which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, that the three ten-day periods of Ramzan, the first is Rahmat, the second is Maghfirat, and the third is Itqu minan nar, salvation from the fire of Jahannam. So Hazrat says, this is for the normal people, that first they find Allah's Rahmat, and now when they have kept rozas for 10 days, now Maghfirat comes. And then finally, Itqu minan nar, salvation from the fire of Jahannam. But those who are already clean before, from the beginning already they get everything. All three barakats they get from the beginning already, and they progress very far. And those are people who benefit, the complete benefit they get. So therefore, a person should prepare for his Ramadan also, live his life correctly all the time, then that person will be able to appreciate Ramadan. Just like it is said also from Mashayikh, that person will know which is Laylatul Qadr, who makes normally ibadat at night. He'll feel the difference of that night. But a person who is not in the habit of making ibadat, he won't feel the difference. That person will be able to feel the difference. Just like, it's quite simple and easy to understand, you're counting notes, and you're in the habit of counting notes, money, and a fake note, immediately you'll pick it up. This is a fake note here. This is not a genuine note. You'll pick it up immediately. But that is if you were used to notes. But if you didn't know the notes, currency of a country, which you went to any country, you don't know that currency, and you are counting, you won't pick up the fake one from the genuine one. But a person who's used to counting that notes, he'll pick it up easily. So Ramzan, a person who was used to making ibadat, he'll get the shock of Ramzan. Then this Quran Sharif, we will get there, then you will start enjoying one ayat of it. When your attachment is to that ayat, you'll keep on repeating and you'll get that enjoyment of it all the time. So this is when we are engaged. So anyway, Allama Busairi Rahmatullah Ali says that this Quran Sharif, laha ma'anin, it has got so many meanings, kamawjil bahri, like the waves of the sea. The waves of the sea, they never end. Just like if you go to the sea, you enjoy looking at the waves hours and hours. You go away into your hotel room, wherever, you come away from your holiday, but the waves haven't stopped. You have gone away, but those waves are carrying on. Just like the Tawaf of Kaaba Sharif. When you are there, that waves of people just are coming all the time. You come away, that waves don't stop. And you got tired at night, you want to go and sleep, you went away to your hotel room, but the tawaf carries on and on and on. The same at Roza Mubarak, Salatu Salam, just carries on and on all the time. So this is, so the Quran, like that waves carry on, the meanings of the ayats also keep on coming. But this is that person who is attached, which is famous of Imam Shafi'i, Rahmatullah, and so many other great people, from one ayat, they made istinbat and took out masail and masail. And then if you look at Bayanul Quran of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, not only fiqhi masail, which Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Ma'ariful Quran of Mufti Shafi Sahib, is really a simplified form of Bayanul Quran. For us today, nowadays, to understand Bayan al-Quran, though it's in Urdu, it's not everyone's cup of tea. Such a great work that Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah himself said that if Quran was revealed by Allah in Urdu language, it should have been on Bayan al-Quran. For Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, who never looked at any Urdu sharas or tarjumas or sharas, and he very strongly, emphatically stopped the students also, that your istidat won't be made if you look at Urdu sharas, etc., the explanation of the kitabs. But when he saw Bayan al-Quran, he said, I changed my view today. What Allah had put in Bayan al-Quran. So a man like Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayhi, could understand Bayan al-Quran. It's not really our cup of tea. Allah give Mufti Shafi sahab, Maulana Idris Kandelvi sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, great rewards. From Bayan al-Quran, they simplified and they wrote Ma'ariful Quran. Mufti Shafi sahab's Ma'ariful Quran, Fiqhi Masail. He has taken all that out. Mufti Maulana Idris Kandelvi, rahmatullah alayhi, more on tasawwuf, he took out the matters of the Quran Sharif. And that was Masail-e-Suluk of Maulana Thanvi, rahmatullah alayhi. So one work of Bayanul Quran, two great alims devoted their lives just to simplify it for us. So anyway, the Quran Sharif has got these meanings and great meanings of suluk, of fiqh, of principles of war, war at wartime. What Quran has explained, the details are in there. Social life, the Quran has explained. Monetary dealings, the Quran Sharif has explained. So the Quran is filled with all this. And how much a person, his heart is clean. Not only his knowledge, his heart is clean, so much that person benefits. Otherwise, there are non-Muslims who have written tafsirs of Quran, but they didn't benefit anything spiritually. They didn't, not even iman they got from the Quran Sharif. Though they have, what they haven't written on the Quran Sharif. But till the heart is not clean, and how much more our heart is clean, so much more we benefit. And to this extent we benefit. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi saw Allah Ta'ala in a dream and asked him which is the most effective, best way of getting closeness to you. Allah said, Quran Sharif. He said, understanding or without understanding. Allah said, both ways. This is the miracle of the Quran, that if you understand it, you will benefit and you'll make other people benefit. You'll be able to explain to them. But if you don't understand Arabic, you will still benefit. This is the miracle of the Quran. You will benefit, but you won't be able to tell other people. This is the teaching of the Quran. This is the what this ayat says, what that ayat says, that you won't be able, but you will get the benefit. How much a person devotes himself to Quran Sharif, recitation of Quran Sharif, etc., so much the reality of Quran will come. So this is that month which Allah has given us. And this Quran Sharif, so laha ma'ani ka mawjil bahri fi madadin, that how the waves help one another, and they push one another. The ayats of the Quran also, so to say, push one another. Rabte ayat, the connection of the ayats. And when a person gets that, he sees that connection, and in many cases it is a hidden connection. You won't just see it with the ordinary physical eye, but how much more your insight is open, so much more you will see. Then there is Rabte Surah. Surahs also are connected with one another. For example, in Surah Fatiha, we said, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Show us the straight path. So, Surah Baqarah, Dhalikal Kitabu, La Raiba. If you wanted the straight path, this is the Kitab, Hudal lil Muttaqin. It is the guide for mankind. And then all the details of it, Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim, that the people, not those people on whom Allah's anger has come. Surah Baqarah, which deals mainly with the Jews, that how they went, they are ghayril maghdubi. So that whole ayat's tafsir is Surah Baqarah. Waladdallin Ali Imran, the Nasara. So all this connection is in the Quran Sharif. And the more a person studies it, the more he sees. And then what is another thing that takes you away from Allah Ta'ala is Ma'idah, the table, the dasturkhan, food. And then an'am, animals. Today our cars, all these things of this dunya, they take you away. So to get Sirat Mustaqim, you have to be saved from all these things. So this connection. After Surah Furqan is Surah Nur. After Surah Nur is Surah Furqan. 18th Supara, Surah Nur. When light comes, then you can make difference between what is dark and what is light, what is wrong, what is right. Then you can make when you got Nur. So this connection is in the Quran. And as you get it, you can't explain, but that ecstasy and joy that comes in the heart, nothing in this world can give that ecstasy and joy. This is Quran Sharif. And any poetry is enjoyable to study. Whether it is even Shakespeare, Milton, Holmes, all this. Poetry and literature, it has got something. But Allahu Akbar, the literature of the Quran, where can any of these things compare with Quran Sharif? And the Quran Sharif is not only the outward literature, what literature is, all about poetry, prose, etc. But your Quran Sharif, the inside of it, and it is only nur, only light, only guidance. So the Quran Sharif is blesses a person with this. لَهَا مَعَانِنْكَ مَوْجِ الْبَحْرِ فِي مَدَدٍ وَفَوْقَ جَوْهَرِهِ فِي الْحُسْنِ وَالْقِيَمِ. And it is more beauty than the pearls of the Quran Sharif of the sea, as far as beauty and as far as value is concerned. Like you have a pearl, one pearl. It is beautiful. A pearl is beautiful. And also a pearl at the same time, very valuable also. And with regard to a pearl, one little analogy which I remember, a flower, a beautiful flower, went down to the sea, bed of the sea, to meet a pearl in its oyster. And it explained to the pearl that my family, we are flowers. And in the flowers are roses, daffodils, how many beautiful, beautiful flowers, how beautiful they are. The petals, to touch them, a rose petal, how like silk, how enjoyable. The wonderful fragrance of the flowers. So we belong to that family, we are elite family. All we flowers, we are elite families. And we look very beautiful, but then the flower also explained, man, human beings use us for a few days, then throw us by the side of the road. Or throw us in the dustbin. The minute the flower you used it, and now it is starting to wither, you throw it away. Then there was sadness in that flower's voice. So the pearl asked it, why are you sad? He said, we are cherished, and we are cultivated, and we are looked after, we are grown by man. But not for our sake, for their sake. They don't do it for our sake, they do it for their benefit. They want to enjoy the pure flower, to look at it, etc. And then the flower told the pearl in the oyster, tell me something about you also. I told you about my story, what's your story? The oyster, the pearl said, we stay away very far from men. We stay right at the bottom of the sea. So we are sought after much more. They look for us much more. And the more we hide ourselves in our oyster, the more we are valuable. And the more they want us. So like that, what was this whole thing? The moral? Parda. A flower is open. So the people just use the woman of the street. And once they have used them, throw them away. They got no value whatsoever. And those that keep themselves covered like this, they have got value. And they become more valuable. So this is the value of this parda. So how valuable isn't a pearl? So one pearl on its own also is beautiful and is valuable. Then what to say of a pearl that is in a necklace? The whole now string of pearls. How the value is that? And how much beauty, the shine that falls on that pearl and on the other pearl again and one to the other. How much beauty is increased. Like that, each ayat on its own also has got so much beauty. And is so valuable. But that ayat which is in a string of the surat, one ayat after the other, and there if you see that light of one ayat in the other, the connection, there is no limit to that ecstasy and joy that you get within yourself. For example, most of the mufassirin have written that the ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي, that Allah and His malaikas and durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it has got no connection with the front and back. Now, if you read the ayats in front, you read the ayats at the back, there seems to be no connection. My one ustad, Hazrat Maulana Ghulamullah Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, we went and studied tafsir by him when we were studying in Deoband, but we went to Pakistan, Rawalpindi. He should give a crash course in Ramadan. From end of Rajab, Shaban was main, and then in Ramzan, Shaban in Ramzan. So he explained what a connection, that in the surah comes the mention of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's marriage to Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, which is quite a long story. But in short, Hazrat Zainab was married to the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Zaid. And when they divorced, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried very hard to patch the marriage, but he didn't. When they divorced, Allah made the nikah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hazrat Zainab in the heavens. Now, for this, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to accept this, for us today, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no second question, Iman, our Iman. But you can take the, you can understand the context, just like there is an alim in our gathering here, in our town, in our wherever where we are. And he's got people who follow him, or his musallis in his masjid, etc. Now if he has to make an announcement that my nikah is made to a certain woman, and Allah made my nikah, today it can't happen, wahi is closed now. But if he has to make an announcement like that, more half, three quarter of his musallis, all will run away. That what you're talking about, the munafiqeen were present in the time of Nabi, who are like Muslims, who are like musallis. They were there, who should come to the majlis also. They were present everywhere. Now with this announcement, those people, what a big issue they made of it. And many other issues, munafiqeen, were the worst enemies, the snake in the grass. They were inside enemies. The kafirin, outside enemies, you could understand. And today also there are those enemies, who are inside. And they're just looking for an opportunity for something like that. And they go to town when they get something like that. So for Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say he wasn't shy, nobody else, the wahi didn't come to somebody else, and the wahi came to him, and he had to announce it. He was Allah's Rasul, and every wahi he had to make it known to the people. Balligh ma unzila ilayk, whatever Allah has revealed to you, let the people know about it. That was the duty of the Rasul, Allah's message. So this thing that was like so much in his favor, but not in society. But Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such a true to Allah, he even accepted this. To accept hardships is alright. Many people, Mali Sahib in the town, is going through difficulty driving an old car. Every time he's on the road, he gets stuck. Then they praise him, oh, Mali Sahib, very big Huzur. Nobody will get the tawfiq of buying him a car, but Maulana is a great Huzur. How he lives in his house, like the Sahaba, he lives in the house. But nobody will get tawfiq of fixing his house up or something. So that, to accept that is easy. But to accept a favor, like Mali Sahib pulls up a new Rolls Royce, now what will all the people say? Oh, from where is this, Mali Sahib? Where you got this from? So this big favor which Allah has, Hazrat Zainab was very beautiful also. And Allah made the nikah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her. And so Allah became so happy that he to the T what I commanded my Nabi, inna Allahu wa malaikatu. That Allah and his malaika forever continuously sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you see this, now that ayat, what a meaning it has got in it. So the Quran Sharif is that kitab Allah Ta'ala has given us. So the month also is set like that. Then the Quran Sharif, which is hidayat through and through, hudal lil nas, hudal lil muttaqeen, it is a kitab of hidayat. And also, as we had mentioned, we'll just revise that. When we read in Quran Sharif, make our niyats. Five niyats usually we encourage. That the first, it is Allah's command, and I'm Allah's slave, as ibadat I'm doing it. For sawab, make your niyat for the sawab also, and what great sawab for every letter of the Quran which we had explained. And I think that we explained before Ramzan, just briefly, Quran Sharif's rewards are such that in this world, for example, a person heard that an atom bomb can kill so many people. And he reads Wazifa, atom bomb, atom bomb, atom bomb, 1,000 times. But not a fly also is dying. The fly that is troubling him, not even the fly is dying. So he wonders then that the atom bomb can't do anything. Can't kill a fly also. Hydrogen bomb, nuclear power, a person, a country has got what it can do. But just the words can't do anything. But look at the Quran Sharif, just the words like Qarun, Shaitan, Haman. But when you read it as Quran Sharif, like that you, if you read Wazifa 100 times, 1,000 times, Shaitan, 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 there will be no sawab. How wrong isn't it? But when you read it in the Quran Sharif, Inna Shaitana, then now that word Shaitan, you for every letter 10 sawabs you are getting. When you're reading Qarun in the Quran Sharif, for every letter 10 minimum, without wuzu. You read Shaitan's name, without wuzu you get 10. And you read Shaitan's name, but Quran Sharif, with wuzu 25 sawabs. And you're reading Shaitan's name in namaz, 50 sawabs, 100 sawabs. How not? So this is the Quran Sharif. That it is just the word, the recitation, even these things here, if you read وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, is dunya's things. But for that also there is sawab. So that is Quran Sharif. That for every letter, how much sawab you get. So this Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala has given us, so we make niyat of sawab also. Thirdly, the niyat of hidayat. This kitab is a kitab of hidayat. Then you make niyat of getting closeness to Allah. To get closeness to Allah, this is such a, the means, the Quran Sharif and the Zaat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are two things that will give you so much of hidayat and so much of closeness to Allah Ta'ala. And then whatever level you are in, you know Quran Sharif only to look inside and read. You're not a hafiz. But read that I'm also reading to maintain my knowledge of being able to read Quran Sharif. You're a hafiz, read it with that niyat also. My hifz must remain properly. I must know my Quran Sharif properly. You're a qari, read it with that niyat also. All the laws of qiraat, etc. And if you can, and that is almost impossible today, if you are such a faqih that you can take out masalas also from the Quran Sharif, then mashallah, to read with that niyat also. And in this way, the reading of the Quran Sharif will become a source of how lot of sawab, how lot of closeness, how lot of hidayah. So Quran Sharif is that kitab. The month is such a blessed month. Rozas then are such great that Allah has given us. That this roza, even out of the month of Ramadan, roza has got great effect. And there's sawab, great sawabs for rozas even out of the month of Ramadan. And in fact, it is a guarantee of good health of a person are two things. Tahajjud and your three rozas of the month. Or your two rozas of the week. Monday, Thursday rozas. Or ayyam ibi. You keep those rozas and you make your tahajjud. That is your guarantee of good health. So there's rozas throughout the year. Rozas, they are the source by which Allah's nur also comes. You get saved from gunas also. And rozas for health reason also. There is also very, very important that rozas for our physical health. And fasting, according to Hakims, the best treatment for any disease is fasting. When you have any problem, any disease, then you fast. It helps you tremendously. And many of the diseases are such that by eating, you're strengthening the disease. And by fasting, you starve that disease. The germs, whatever is causing that, by fasting, you starve them. And that is a great way of relieving yourself of that disease. But unfortunately today, one lady phoned home, she was speaking with Appa, and that about four, so asked, what you doing? So she said, I'm reading Quran. Few times she asked. So she said, what else must we do in Ramzan? Quran? She said, you're cooking, eating. Because today, for us, Ramzan is feasting. That from well before. Actually, we have to prepare for Ramzan, the spiritual side, long before. But we prepare the material, the food side. Our white meat, are we ordering this, we ordering that, everything. We're doing so much shopping before Ramzan, because Ramzan is coming. And that doesn't curtail any of the shopping in Ramzan. It carries on. And towards the end, Allah make us maaf. How many women don't keep Roza 27 days? Normally we take 27 days, a big day. They're going shopping. And they say, when we go shopping, we can't keep Roza. What direction? And now, the sukh they are keeping. Sukh. And all other things. And the abayas which they are advertising. And what kind of abayas, etc. And this is all at the end of Ramzan. Shows that and Muslim women are doing modeling now. They're modeling this abayas. And they are showing the abayas of that how they are. And there isn't an abaya less than 1,000 rand. And this was supposed to be just a chadar. Just that you cover your, and you don't draw attraction. That was the object of abaya, or of a cloak. Not that you attract attention. And a woman, one abaya is enough. At the most, two. But you go and open the cupboard, and we haven't opened cupboards, but if you go and open the cupboard, you'll find the whole cupboard full of abayas. How many they are full of all abayas. So that is not actually, we are defeating the whole object. So anyway, so roza is a thing that will break our desires for gunas also. And it brings Allah's nur. So Allah has set in this month for us the perfect stage and the perfect field scenario Allah has prepared properly. That shaitans, they are chained up. And your nafs has been weakened by rozas. And if you were keeping rozas from Rajab already, you increased in Shaban, your nafs is gone very weak now. So your nafs won't trouble you in Ramzan. You'll be able to get the maximum benefit. You are fully ready. Otherwise, you start in Ramzan, now the benefit will come a bit later. Therefore, the second 10 days is maghfirat. And for some people, they have to wait till the last 10 days. Then they get itqu min an-nar. But if you are from before, all three fazilats are for you from the start. What is the enjoyment for that person? A person who goes to some place, whatever it is, whether it's sports, whether it's politics, whether it's business, and you know nothing about it, you did no preparation. You didn't read up about the place, you didn't look on the internet, what were things, you go there as a complete loss. And you don't know what is where and how to register and how to start. How lot of your time gets wasted. A person was well prepared from before. He made his reservations, he made his bookings, he registered online. He goes straight into the game. He's on the ball from the start. So Ramzan also, for those of us who wait for Ramzan to come, and we should make shukr, Allah has brought us here for the 30 days, for most of us. Otherwise, other people will come the last 10 days, which is also meritorious. And other people, whole Ramzan will pass and we didn't even register for Ramadan to get the benefits. We didn't get the... And really, there are those people today in the Ummah, how many people who they don't even know it's Ramzan stuff. There are those people, they don't even know. And how many who know, but their knowing is just like not knowing also. They're just carrying on with their life as normal still. It may, they're not keeping roza, there's no namaz, there's nothing. They're just carrying on. And they just know it's Ramzan, well it's Ramzan, so what? But those who know the value of Ramzan, and those who really prepared and came from the first day prepared, what enjoyment don't those people get from the month of Ramadan? And mashallah, those who came for 40 days, and perhaps the 10 days before Ramzan for them is the most valuable. Because then they aren't proper full-time programs, and yet they, and their mujahada at that time is much more greater. And they make sabr, and they stay, and they are listening to the talks, the Allah, what Allah, whoever makes effort, a woman jahada, fali nafsi. Allah will give him his reward for his mujahada, which is, and Allah Ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيءُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Those who are doing all this, Allah is not one that destroys the rewards of these people who do these great things. So anyway, so roza also Allah Ta'ala has given us, and this roza, where on the one side it breaks your nafs taqaza, and Allahu Akbar, Allah is our maker, He knew us, so He fixed 30 rozas for us. And that was ideal for this human body. And of course, alhamdulillah, like Musa alayhi salam, Allah ordered him to keep 40 rozas. After the 30, another 10 again. And this was Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi's normal habit also. Each day he would go home for a little while, and go back to the masjid for another 10 days i'tikaf. Another 10 days rozas again. The 40-day period has got a great effect. So those who came 10 days before and are doing the 40 days, from Allah's side, this has got a great, great effect. When about 7-8 years ago, our Shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me the tawfiq, I should phone him every week, minimum once a week. At that period, continuously Hazrat told me, you must come for 40 days, you have to spend. There wasn't a conversation in which 2-3 times he did not tell me. Allah gave me tawfiq, I spent my 40 days with Hazrat, mashallah. Then when I was there, Hazrat said, see, this is, because it's a time, 40 days you are giving, it's like a sacrifice. For us, we take it as a big sacrifice. In reality, it is nothing whatsoever. But we take it as a big thing. Hazrat said, all the buzurgs have said this, they can't be wrong. They know what they are talking about. And they all have said, spend 40 days in a khanqa. So they must be knowing what they are talking about. And before, the people used to spend much more time in a khanqa. Not only 40 days, but much more time. So this 40 days has got a, and the formation of a child in the womb of the mother is also in 3 40-day periods. 4 months, 3 40-day periods does the formation of a child take place. So the formation of one's ruh also, this has got a great effect, a 40-day period. And if we can do 3 40 days, what to say about that? Before, there were many, many khanqas. In fact, before when a student graduated, or the ustad gave the student advice. Today, most of the students who finish graduating, they will teach in a madrasa, in a maktab, in a darul ulum. They'll do some dini work, whichever dini work. And what we call dini work today is to teach. You make a darul ulum yourself, or you teach in a darul ulum, or in a maktab, hips class, imamah, this year. There are some ulama who go into business, etc. also. It's not haram, but that's not really their, where they studied 6, 7 years, 8 years. They should be doing dini work. But it's not haram if they are doing business also. But anyway, this work they should be doing. But previously, whenever an alim finished, what he knew my work is to open a khanqa, not a darul ulum. And what is the object of a khanqa? To make islah of the people. Today, commonly we said, who are religious minded, the ulama, whenever we have a gathering, see what the people are doing, Ramzan, and what they are doing. But what did we do to make the islah? If we did the most, we taught the children in the maktab. Or we gave a lecture on Jummah. That also is a big thing for nowadays, if we're doing so much also. But for every individual, Tabligh Jamaat has got such an ihsan on the ulama, that what was primarily the work of the ulama, to make islah of the public, of the people. They do it, though it's in a limited, 6 numbers. Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah limited them to 6 numbers, because it's a public's work, they don't have knowledge of deen, but they have done, they are done, and they're doing a great favor on the ulama. What was our work to make complete islah of the people? Their aqaid, their ibadat, muamalat, muasharat, everything. That an alim should have in mind. So the khanqa, that is, before, there were huge, huge khanqas. Very big, but the enemy and shaitan knows that there are no signs left. The khanqa of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, of all our buzurgs. And they were buildings also, like today we have big buildings of Darul Ulums. Khanqas were so big buildings. And all the facilities for the mureedin, and 24 hours, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 12 months a year, there were facilities. Now there are so few khanqas in the world. And of that also, for hidayat, for haq. Otherwise, like our Shaykh saying, many khanqas are khamakha. They're just a waste of time, just they're partying all the time, eating and drinking. And what is the purpose? Islah of the people. That is not happening. So that is, that has to, and in the world today, there are so few. And those few also are really only operational in Ramadan. Rest of the year, if a person wants to come spend a week, a month, hardly anywhere in the world there is a khanqa like that. Very little. And this was the main thing of the ulama, that they established khanqas. Maulana Mufti Abdullah Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali, who was blessing us with his presence the past two, three years, he has built a very big khanqah, and his plan is to build 100 khanqahs in the whole of India. And he says, like for example, you go, you see a building somewhere, you're traveling anywhere, and there's nothing written, or it's written, it's in a foreign language you don't understand, you'll ask somebody, what's this, what's happening here? So he says, khanqahs have to be like that. And then whenever anyone see, what's a khanqah? Everyone will ask today. Then you explain, it's a place where a person gets made. Where the hospital is for your spiritual diseases, for your bodily, physical diseases. Khanqah is a place for your physical, for your spiritual diseases, where you come and you get admitted and you get treatment for your spiritual diseases. And how important isn't it for our spiritual diseases? As we mentioned Juma time today, that for your physical diseases, it's not for us to take ilaj and take treatment. But for your spiritual diseases, it is farz-e-ain on every person that he takes treatment for that. So these spiritual hospitals which are khanqahs, how much more important are they? So Ramzan, Allah has given us, whatever in the small little way, make the best of it, appreciate it. And a person who makes his Ramzan, his year will be made, his life will be made. So this is a great occasion Allah Ta'ala has given us to make ourselves. Allah has given us the month of Ramadan. And to put it beautifully, نَعْمَ الرَّاكِبْ وَنَعْمَ الْمَرْكَبْ, that the conveyance, the car, is Ramzan. And the passenger in the car is Quran Sharif. So if you're getting a visitor, and the visitor is coming on bicycle, you don't look at the bicycle, you see, mashallah, such a big, important visitor, he comes on the rickshaw, on a simple way he comes, but he's coming in a Rolls Royce. Then even much more. And then not only that, Ramzan is another passenger, Roza is another passenger in there. So we have got a wonderful vehicle of Ramadan. And you've got the wonderful passenger of Quran Sharif and of Roza. This beautiful guest has come to us to our home. If you get a guest, and also prepare for Ramzan before time. If you are getting a guest, you know he's coming. And he tells you, I might pitch up on the 29th of Shaban or 30th of Shaban. My ticket and my booking. So if you really honor the guest, you're getting the house ready months before. His bedroom, everything. Not when the guest comes there, then you're looking for the key for the front door. Now he has to wait half an hour, 1 hour there. Finally, when you find the key, or you tell him to please come from the back, or to come through a window, because you can't get the key, and such a guest has come. And you take him, this is your room here, and it's in a mess. The whole room is in a mess. If that guest has got any self-respect, he'll say, please, I think I'll go somewhere else. I can't stay here. So Ramzan has come, how are we receiving Ramzan? If we prepared before time for Ramzan, otherwise, how many of us, Ramzan is with us, but it's not with us. The guest is not happy with us. We are not entertaining, and Ramzan is not entertained with samosas and pies and all those things there. Ramzan is entertained with the ibadat. And the main thing of Ramzan, which the Quran has said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you acquire taqwa. Not for ibadat really. And generally for ibadat also, Allah Ta'ala has made it clear that Allah لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah wants to test you who of you does the best of amal, not أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. And also, not mal. Like some people, we don't pronounce properly and we say, our kamyabi, hamari kamyabi, amal mein hai. So what they say, amal mein hai. That wealth must come, money must come, dunya must come. Hamari kamyabi amal mein hai. Jitna zyada maal aaye, utna zyada kamyab. No, our kamyabi is in amal. And in amal also, in our deen, not akthar, but ahsan. So quality Allah wants to see. So that if we present to Ramadan, which is our host, and we receive this host in this way, that person and this host will shower you with favors. From head to toe, from morning to night, your life, your dunya, your akhirat, this is that host that will make your life for you. That receive the host nicely. Make the host feel comfortable and happy to be with you. If you have a don't care attitude, when can Ramzan get finished? Every day you're telling the host, when is your booking again? When you all came and when you all going? When you came and when you leaving again? You worried about that all the time? Then Ramzan, what will Ramzan bless us with? So this is an honorable month. So three great things in this month Allah has blessed us. The month of Ramadan, and then together with that, the Quran Sharif and the Rozas. All three of them, appreciate them and make maximum out of them. Wallah, we will see. You will, yourself, you will feel it. You are a different person. You will realize you went through a transformation. This month is such, you have to go through a transformation. Therefore, Nabi-e-Azam, Shafiq-e-Azam, what a great Shafiq, what a great Mihrban on this Ummah. He gave badwa for the person who couldn't make his maghfirat in Ramzan. What it means really, 100% your maghfirat, your islah must be made in this month. So let us just apply ourselves reasonably, and Allah is most merciful. Our islah will be made. We will find deen, we will find Allah, we will find now that a change has come in my life. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.